Hey, y'all, and welcome back to Season 2 of Kudzu Killers, Homicide, and Sweet Tea. Lark has decided to pursue other interests, so it's just me, and I'm going to attempt to do this gig solo. She might pop in from time to time to add her two cents, but for now it's just you, me, Kim, and the occasional guest co-host to chime in, as well as whatever ghosts we might dig up along the way. This season, I'm going to be concentrating on unsolved mysteries and unsolved missing persons and cold case murders, and hopefully if anyone out there has any information pertaining to these cases, they can call the numbers provided at the end of each episode. New episodes, like today's, will air on Fridays now, and I hope to be back to two episodes a week at some point in the future. Maybe. We'll see. But anyway, today our first case is from my home state of Arkansas, Alma to be specific, and it's a small town of about 6,000 people near the Oklahoma border, sitting on Interstate 40, which cuts across the country from Barstow, California to Wilmington, North Carolina. So if you've been across the country, more than likely you've touched this highway and you know where I'm talking about. It was from this town that Morgan Nick was abducted and has been missing for 26 years. And it's about time we find out what happened to this little girl and find the person who abducted her. Morgan Chantel Nick was only 6 years old when she disappeared from a Little League baseball park in Alma, Arkansas on June 9, 1995. She was about 4 feet tall at the time of her disappearance and weighed about 55 pounds. She had blonde hair and blue eyes and had a protruding purple vein on the lower left side of her rib cage. Her teeth were also crowned, and she had 5 visible, and I think I read somewhere where they were temporary, silver caps on her molars at the time of her disappearance. She was wearing a green Girl Scouts t-shirt, denim shorts, and white sneakers. She and her mother had gone out for sort of a girls' night out, you know, like we tend to do with our kids from time to time. Her mother described it that way anyway, and they were going to go watch some baseball, which is the sport in Arkansas, sort of like football for Texas. Maybe not quite, but you get the picture. People like to go watch everything from coach pitch to American Legion. And I can remember doing this when I was in high school, going to all the games with my best friend to check out the guys in their baseball pants and wondering which ones might go to play pro. I don't think any of them ever did any farther than farm clubs, but that's neither here nor there. Morgan Nick was born on September 12th. 1988, a beautiful little girl by all accounts, and she loved cats, and she loved apples, and she loved to chew bubblegum. When she grew up, she wanted to be a circus performer and a doctor, and according to her mom, she liked to help people and she liked to make them laugh, so those seemed like something she would go for in her future. Morgan and her mom were there to have a good time at that ballpark. Colleen's husband, John, was working, so after dropping off the two younger kids at their grandmother's house, she and Morgan planned to watch the games with friends, cheering on one of the friends' kids as he played Little League game. There had been some rained-out games the previous week that were being made up that night, so the games were running a little later than usual. So the youngsters were getting kind of bored. You know, baseball can be a little boring if you're not really into it, and they were there because their moms were there, and they were getting bored. Morgan herself was playing under the bleachers, tying her mom's shoelaces together, trying to do something to have fun, when a couple of kids, a boy and a girl, stopped by and asked if she could go catch fireflies with them for a few minutes up on the side of the hill near the bleachers. Now, Morgan was a little bit shy. She didn't take to strangers at first, so she didn't really want to go play with these kids at first. She didn't know them. But when they came back a second time at around 10:30, Morgan decided she wanted to go play. Now, Colleen was hesitant. It was late, and it was dark, and there was really nothing around this ball field. No restrooms, no concession stand, nothing. But her friends told her that their kids played there all the time, and it was safe. And besides, people had kind of told her time and again that she was an overprotective mom with her kids and she should let them have more fun and get out and play. Now, the kids promised they'd stay where she could see them, so after a bit, she reluctantly gave her permission to let Morgan go and play with these kids. Morgan gave her a hug and a kiss, and she watched as the kids raced away to the nearby grassy hill area to play. And it would be the last hug and kiss she ever received from her daughter. Colleen could hear them squealing and racing around after the lightning bugs. She looked over and she could see them playing every few minutes, and she began to feel a little bit better about her decision. And then when the game was over, about 15 minutes later, Morgan's new little friends, Ty and Jessica, returned to the stand without Morgan. Of course, Colleen panicked like anybody would and asked where she was, and they said they'd all stopped to shake sand from their shoes and she'd stayed back by what they thought was her car, sitting on the ground and emptying the sand from her own shoes. But Colleen looked toward their car, and Morgan wasn't there. Morgan was nowhere to be found. People in the parking lot, hearing Colleen's calls for her daughter, immediately began to search for her. Colleen borrowed a cell phone. Now, I've heard this a couple different ways. She borrowed a cell phone and called 911. Another account said that one of the baseball coaches saw what was going on, and he called 911. But either way, the police were there pretty fast because the police department wasn't very far away. They responded and started searching for Morgan. And the police haven't stopped trying to find Morgan for the last 26 years. Now, one of the baseball coaches talked to the kids who'd been playing with Morgan and found out they'd seen Morgan talking to what they called a creepy guy who drove a red Ford pickup truck with a white camper top that didn't quite fit the truck right. It was an older truck, maybe a 70s model. And when the police questioned Ty and Jessica, the two children Morgan had been playing with, as I said, they gave them a description of this creepy guy. They said he was about 6 feet tall, weighed about 180, was kind of muscular, mid-20s to mid to late 30s, and he had a thick, short beard and slicked back dark hair. He spoke with what they called a hillbilly accent. I'm assuming it was a very thick southern accent. He wore no shirt, no shoes, and he had on denim cutoffs and a chest covered with hair. A nearby adult confirmed their description. She'd seen this guy too, and she had noticed that his truck was gone around the same time Morgan disappeared. Now, Morgan was generally pretty shy, as I said before, so the police aren't sure she really talked to him much. They think it was simply a snatch and go. As soon as the kids left her by her mother's car, dumping sand out of her shoes, he saw the opportunity and took it. Likely he grabbed her, put a hand over her mouth to keep her from screaming, and put her in that red truck with the ill-fitting camper, and then took off. Now, there are other things that could have happened. He could have said, "Can you help me find my lost kitty?" And Morgan might have spoken to him then, because again, she loved cats. She loved kittens. So she might have talked to him, and she might have helped him look for his kitty. Who knows? It happens. For the next 6 weeks, Colleen and her husband stayed in Alma, camping out at the fire station, searching for her, trying to help the police any way they could, tried to find leads. They just were trying to find their daughter, but it was to no avail. Her daughter wasn't there. The town of Alma is about 30 minutes away from where the Nicks lived in Ozark. Alma is small and situated on a highway, like I said, Interstate 40, with easy access to nearby Oklahoma, so in reality, this man could have taken her anywhere in a very short amount of time. Colleen ended up moving to Alma so she could continue the search. The town of Alma and the surrounding area hasn't forgotten Morgan either, and they've continued to speculate and wonder what happened to that little six-year-old girl at that ballpark on that muggy summer night. There were two other attempted abductions around the same time in Alma and Fort Smith by a man fitting the description of the person of interest in Morgan's disappearance. A man attempted to lure a 9-year-old girl at a laundromat in Fort Smith into the men's bathroom, and reportedly someone saw what he was doing and stepped in. Another attempt was made on a 4-year-old girl in Alma who started screaming and the mother came out to intervene, and the mother's description of the man was eerily similar to the man they think took Morgan. Now I'm going to take a very quick little break here for our sponsors, and when I come back, we're going to talk about recent tips and other things going on with Morgan's case, as well as a heartfelt letter from Colleen to her daughter. And I'm going to warn you now, I've choked up every time I've tried to read this letter out loud, so I'm probably going to choke up then too. So just bear with me till I can get through it, okay? So we'll be back in just a minute. Hey, thanks for coming back for the rest of Morgan's story. Over the years, there have been new leads here and there regarding Morgan's case, and the Alma police have diligently followed all of them. All of them. And they want more. So anything you can think of, if you were in and around that area at the time, if you lived in that area, if you lived over in Oklahoma and you might have seen a little girl that didn't quite belong or didn't seem comfortable, they'd love to know about that. They'd love you to call their tip line and let them know. On January 15th, 2002, the police conducted a dig on the private piece of land in Boonville, Arkansas, after they received a tip that claimed that Morgan might be buried there. Boonville is about an hour southeast of Alma. The tip was so specific that the police decided to do a dig. A police dog was used in the search as well. But police ended the search at 9:30 p.m. and they said they did not intend to return to the property because they hadn't found anything. Then, on November 15, 2010, federal investigators searched a vacant house in Spiro, Oklahoma, about a half hour away from Alma, across the border, for DNA evidence. They were looking for DNA evidence that could show that Morgan had once been in that house. Nothing was found at the time, but then again on December 18th, 2017, that's a little over 7 years later, the investigators returned to the same house to conduct another search after they received a tip about the case. That time, cadaver dogs were brought in, and they alerted investigators to a well on the property, which they said was the center of their investigation. But again, the search was called off on December 19th after no evidence was found. In August 2012, Tanya Smith and James Monart, were two previously convicted felons, were arrested for computer fraud after attempting to assume the identity of Morgan Nick. She, being Tanya, tried to purchase vital personal documents and information belonging to Morgan, including Morgan's birth certificate. And all I can say is, shame on them, and I hope they rot in jail, because that's the most low you can go, trying to steal the identity of a missing child. They aren't believed to have any connection to the case, other than being two low lives who were taking, like I said, advantage of a missing child's identity. Recently, a documentary was released called Still Missing Morgan. It was made by a young man who is around Morgan's age and lived in that area at the time. I believe it was aired on local stations near Little Rock, and I think it's being set to air on Netflix if it hasn't already. So if you get a chance to watch it, please do. It has a lot of detailed information I don't have time to give you guys here. And although I haven't had an opportunity to watch it all the way through myself, I've seen bits and pieces that I was able to find on the internet. This documentary asked for photos from the ballpark that night. And along with 300 new leads in the case, they now have a clear photo of that red pickup truck with the white camper, which I'll be placing on our website as soon as the episode is downloaded and I can access it to add photographs. Also, there's a drawing of the man in question and a time progress photo of Morgan there. Now, I want to say this to this man myself. If you're still alive, you'd be in your 50s or 60s now, and you know who you are, and you know what you did, and you know you don't have a lot of years left on this earth. You aren't getting any younger. You need to give this family relief and turn yourself in. If you're the wife of this man, you likely know who he is, too. You also probably know he owned that red pickup truck with the white camper that didn't quite fit, and you know what he did, and you need to turn him in. This family deserves to know what happened to their little girl, who would be approaching her mid-30s now. Alma Police Chief Jeff Pointer said, "I think somebody knows something, and maybe multiple people. 26 years is a long time to hold something in, and I have to say I agree with him. To be honest, I don't think this young woman is alive. I would love it if she was, but I doubt that she was alive much more than a couple hours after her abduction. Usually the victims of these men are a hindrance to them, and they do their thing and then they dispose of them pretty quickly. I sincerely hope that's not the case. I really hope she's out there and she's a grown woman and she has kids of her own and she's alive and walking around. Because then maybe somebody can recognize her case and maybe she will herself and get to know her mama again." "The weeks and months and years keep adding up," said Morgan's mother in a blog post on the Center for Missing and Exploited Kids website. Her siblings grew up, her friends grew up, her dad and I have gray in our hair. Her kitten, Emily, waited 19 years for Morgan to come home, and she's buried in our flower bed wrapped in a t-shirt with Morgan's picture on it. How sad. How heartbreaking. Morgan's mother has a message for her daughter, should she still be alive. And I wanted to read this for you in case you're out there, Morgan, and happen to be listening to this podcast episode. This is quoted from a video called Help the Missing. And like I said, I'm going to break up while I'm reading it, so, you know, bear with me. My sweet girl, if you should happen to read this, we want you to know how very important and special you are to us. You are a blessing we cannot live without. We feel cheated every day that goes by, and we do not see your smile, hear your bubbly laughter, or listen to your thoughts and ideas. We have never stopped believing that we will find you. We are saving all our hugs and kisses for you. We will bring you back home to our family where you belong. We will always love you. We will never give up. Love, Mom and Dad. As a result of her daughter's disappearance, Colleen Nick started the Morgan Nick Foundation in order to help other parents of missing children. In 2020 alone, the foundation helped more than 1,500 Arkansas families search for their loved ones. Unfortunately, she's never been able to find her own child. The Morgan Nick Foundation educates kids on sex trafficking, stranger danger, and they try to make them aware of their surroundings and the people around them. It doesn't matter how someone is missing, whether they're a runaway, a family abduction, a stranger abduction, a missing adult, missing is missing, Colleen said. If you're not where you're supposed to be, then you need to be found. There are 2,300 children reported missing each day in the U.S. That's 2,300 children alone. If you'd like to donate to the Morgan Nick Foundation and help find other missing children and adults, the number to call is 1-877-543-HOPE. That's 1-877-543-HOPE. And one more time, 1-877-543-4673. Or visit their website, morgannickfoundation.com. The link's in our show notes on the website. Or you can mail a donation if you feel the need to help these folks with monetary needs of their website to P.O. Box 1033, Alma, Arkansas. That's A-L-M-A, Arkansas. And the postal code is AR72921. And that's it for Morgan's case. I hope someone comes up with something that can help this family find closure. And I hope you join me next week when we'll talk about the case of Dennis Martin, who disappeared from the Great Smoky Mountains National Park in Tennessee on June 14th, 1969. Thanks for coming on out for the new Kudzu Killers Season 2. Talk to you Friday.